Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 11th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started, we have an announcement. There will be a short evangelism team meeting tonight to plan for Child Haven. Child Haven has invited the evangelism team from Upland back on February 4th, Saturday, February 4th. So put that on your prayer calendar and pray for that. It's fantastic that they keep having our evangelism team come back. And of course, the last time we were there, it was absolutely phenomenal. And God is using this. And these kids, your heart breaks for these kids if you know anything about their background and their home. And they're here to be in this place for their protection. They've gone through a lot of scar tissue on the soul, and to hear the good news about Jesus Christ and have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and live with Him forever and ever, it's an awesome thing. So, evangelism team meeting tonight in the big classroom, planning for Saturday, February 4th. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the conclusion of chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. A very magnificent passage, a very powerful passage that is unique to the dispensation that we live in. We live in the church age. There has never been a dispensation in human history like the church age. And the last two verses present the power of the Spirit of God, the power to live the unique spiritual life, and the power that enables us to have a far, far greater glory. A far greater glory in the church age than was ever in any other time in human history. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of Your Word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that You have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the few passages that presents the deity of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this is spiritual freedom. Now there's another category of freedom, human freedom, or you might even call it establishment freedom. But that's not what we have here. We are in the category spiritual freedom. And the key to spiritual freedom in the dispensation of the church age is God the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is the heritage of the church age believer, unique for the royal family of God. There are two categories of spiritual freedom, positional freedom and experiential freedom. Positional freedom, at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes the believer into union with Jesus Christ. The key to positional freedom is our union with Jesus Christ. Totally unique to this dispensation, the church age. The second category of spiritual freedom is experiential freedom. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, For the advantage of experiential freedom, that is, freedom to live the unique spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit in the church age, Christ caused us to be set free, positional freedom, in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. And therefore, stand firm in experiential freedom and stop being subjected again to a yoke of slavery. After salvation, every church-age believer has a choice. You can live the spiritual life in great experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit, or you can put yourself back into slavery to the old sin nature and the cosmic system by your bad decisions to sin. When the believer makes bad decisions to sin, he lives his life by the power of the sin nature inside Satan's cosmic system. He puts himself back into slavery. Slavery to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. When you are living your life by the power of the sin nature in the cosmic system, you have no experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. But you have a free will, a volition, to make good decisions by rebounding, getting back in fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life, and then in great experiential freedom, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum in the short time that you are here. That's why we're here. Verse 18. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, positional freedom, experiential freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the very same image. That's Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The mirror is the Word of God. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, it is not our own reflection we're looking at. Rather, we are looking at the glory of the Lord. We see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. being transformed into the same image is a reference to Galatians 4:19. My little children, I am sweating you out until Christ is formed in you. Christ being formed in you is the key to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. This is a complete and total transformation that takes place in your soul as you advance to spiritual maturity. The agency and enabling power of this transformation is God the Holy Spirit. When the church age believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, a great transformation takes place in the believer's soul. He is caused to be transformed by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit into the same image, the glory of the Lord, Galatians 4:19. God the Holy Spirit is the enabling power that transforms the believer from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you. Well, that concludes the chapter 3, but we need to take a look at a very important doctrine in the Word of God, the doctrine of freedom. We got started on the doctrine of freedom last time. We got a good start, but that, you know, the gun went off. We made a couple of steps out of the blocks. The doctrine of freedom. We noted point one, there are two categories of freedom. The first is human freedom, or you can call it establishment freedom. The second category is spiritual freedom. Now our passage, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, is dealing with the second category, spiritual freedom. Then point two, there are two categories of spiritual freedom. Positional freedom, union with Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation, entering every believer into union with the Lord. And the second is experiential freedom, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in the body of every believer as the base of operations to be filled with the Spirit and to benefit from the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This is the spiritual freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, to advance to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. This is the freedom to be transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19. Point three, the principle of human freedom. Point three is the principle of human freedom. We have studied the first seven subpoints of the principle of human freedom. Subpoint one, human freedom is legitimate self-determination. Two, human freedom is related to privacy, property, life, and authority. And therefore, it emphasizes the need for the laws of divine establishment. For the laws of divine establishment define legitimate authority, which is designed for the protection of freedom. Point three, human freedom always demands that the individuals under it have their privacy. This includes, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the privacy of the priesthood. We, as royal family of God, have a double privacy. Subpoint four, human freedom includes the right to possess and enjoy and benefit from and to make profit from the acquired things of this life. That's the true concept of property. Subpoint 5, human freedom includes authority. Authority under the laws of divine establishment include volition, marriage, family, government. And the principle is authority without freedom is tyranny. Freedom without authority is anarchy. Under the laws of divine establishment, freedom and authority go together. You cannot have one without the other. Subpoint 6, both life and property are sacred in the Word of God. Life and property are sacred under the laws of divine establishment. The laws of divine establishment recognizes the sacredness of property, privacy, and life as the function of human freedom. Subpoint 7, the human freedom of a nation is no more effective than the morality, virtue, integrity, and sense of responsibility of all of its citizens. That's as far as we got. That brings us to point 8. Now we continue with subpoint 8. There are two enemies of human freedom. There are two enemies of human freedom to a nation. The first one is an internal enemy. The internal enemy of human freedom is criminality. And unfortunately, in the time in which we live, criminality is getting worse and worse and worse all throughout our nation. And not only that, but we are so evil in our policy that we are attacking law enforcement, which God has established under laws of establishment to protect against criminality. So what do? Attack law enforcement. They want to do away with law enforcement. Defund law enforcement. Well, what are you doing when you do that? Criminality will just explode and destroy human freedom in a nation. It's already happening. It's already happening in our own nation. In many of these blue cities, which is almost all of California, Oregon, Washington, New York, it's spreading all over this country. People can't even walk in places where they used to walk. They are even afraid to go to the shopping, go to the store. They're afraid when they go get gas. They're attacked when they're getting gas, the gas station. It's because we have totally rejected laws of divine establishment. If we are going to have human freedom in Client Nation USA, then God has provided law enforcement to protect us from our enemies within. Enemies within our nation, criminals. And it's exploding throughout our nation. So there are two enemies of human freedom to the nation. Internal enemies of human freedom, criminality. And the second, external enemies of human freedom. And that is other nations. And in the world today, there are many, many nations that are power nations, that operate on tyranny. And they hate the United States of America. They hate America. They would love to destroy America. That includes Russia, that includes China, that includes North Korea, that includes Iran. There are nations all over this world that want to destroy America, hate America. They are power nations. Now, What does God establish in the Word of God, laws of divine establishment, to protect us from external enemies, power nations, military? And he established a principle, freedom, human freedom through military victory. If we are going to maintain our human freedom from the outside, then we better have the best military anywhere. We should have the very best military, the best trained military, the best equipment to protect us from our external enemies. And we have many external enemies. The internal enemy, criminality. Criminality is the internal enemy to human freedom in a nation. But God has provided for law enforcement. Law enforcement is the part of establishment designed to apprehend and punish criminals. And once a person is convicted of a crime, they have no rights under the scriptural view of law until they have served their sentence. And God has established under the laws of divine establishment capital punishment. And capital punishment is authorized by the Word of God as the greatest control of criminality when it's properly practiced. The greatest control of criminality is capital punishment when it is properly practiced according to the establishment truth of the Word of God. Now, I have listened to some believers. I know they're believers. I've talked to them, and then I hear them say something that is absolutely stupid and arrogant. And they'll say something like, well, I don't believe that we should ever put anyone to death through capital punishment. Well, let me tell you, I didn't know that you were smarter than God is. Because God is the one who has established capital punishment to protect our human freedoms in the nation. And you're saying you're smarter than God is? Your thinking is better than God's thinking? Turn over to Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, that's murder. Whoever sheds the blood of man, murder, by man shall his blood be shed, capital punishment. For in the image of God has God made man. So this is very clear. God's made it very clear. Whoever sheds the blood of man, murder, by man shall his blood be shed, capital punishment. Turn over to Matthew 26. Jesus Christ taught this principle in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And it was when Peter was there with him. Peter was always doing something stupid. And he didn't let anybody down. Matthew 26. This is when they came to seize Jesus Christ, and Peter pulled out. Peter had a sword. A concealed weapon. Wasn't that concealed? He had a permit for it, and he pulled out his sword, and he was going to put that sword right down through the skull, divide him into two parts. But he was a lousy shot. He needs to practice. You got to practice those things. He came down and the guy moved and he cut his ear off. And then Jesus Christ goes, oh, shit. Now, he didn't say that exactly, but it was real similar to that. And he picked up the ear and put it back on. And then he looked at Peter and he taught him something about capital punishment. Matthew 26:52. Put your sword back in its place, dummy. Now, that isn't in there either. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword, commit murder, which you are trying to do, commit murder, will die by the sword. Capital punishment. Jesus Christ taught capital punishment. Matthew 26:52. Turn over to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 3. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right. In other words, you're a law-abiding citizen. But for those who do wrong, evil, the word is actually evil. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right. Be a law-abiding citizen. He will commend you. For he is God's servant. He is God's servant to do you good. But if you do evil, that which is wrong, law-abiding, unlawful, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing, capital punishment. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Now turn over to Numbers 35. Numbers 35. Numbers 35, verse 30. If anyone murders a person, the murderer shall be put to death, capital punishment, at the evidence of witnesses. Now there's a condition here. But no person shall be put to death, capital punishment, on the testimony of one witness. There must be two or more. Must be two or more witnesses. If anyone murders a person, the murderer shall be put to death, capital punishment, at the evidence of witnesses. But no person shall be put to death, capital punishment, on the testimony of one witness. So we have an enemy, an internal enemy in Client Nation USA. It's criminality. And God has provided to protect our human freedom. He has provided law enforcement. He has provided capital punishment. And capital punishment is authorized by the Word of God as the greatest control of criminality when it is properly practiced. Now there is also, we have external enemies. External enemies to our human freedom. Other nations. There are nations in the world, as I have said, that hate America. They would love to destroy America. Now, there are two general categories of nations in the world. First of all, there are power-oriented nations, and they function under some system of tyranny. Power-oriented nations that function under some system of tyranny. And then secondly, there are those nations that are freedom-oriented and function under the laws of divine establishment. So two categories, power-oriented nations functioning under some system of tyranny. That's Russia, that's China, that's North Korea, that's Iran. And those nations that are freedom-oriented and function under the laws of divine establishment. Now, the Bible teaches us that there will, in fact, Jesus Christ taught us, there will always be wars and rumors of wars, hot wars and cold wars, until the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the Second Advent and establishes His kingdom on earth. So until that time, human freedom can only be preserved from power-oriented nations by the principle of the Word of God. Freedom comes through military victory. Now, in those power-oriented nations function under two principles of degeneration. Immoral degeneration, moral degeneration. Of course, Russia is a typical illustration of a power-oriented nation. So is China, so is North Korea, so is Iran. Russian evil exists on a large scale of tyranny. And we see this right now, every day. Large scale of tyranny as evidenced in their attack, a satanic attack on the Ukraine, where an entire population is being murdered and slaughtered. They are 100% wrong. It's 100% evil and satanic. The Ukraine has a large pivot of believers. There are many believers in the Ukraine. And they have been taught doctrine. And so I encourage you, as I have in the past, pray for those Christians in the Ukraine, that God puts a wall of fire around them, protects them. Pray that they'll be channels of God's grace and tools in His hands to proclaim gospel truth all over the Ukraine. And it's going on. Jim Myers, who has had a ministry in the Ukraine for years and years and years, has noted that and reported to us that many of the people in the Ukrainian military have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed in Jesus Christ while this war is going on. And they're having impact. So you can pray for that pivot of mature believers, that they will be used by God to proclaim the gospel truth throughout the land. And we're not living in the tribulation. In the tribulation, the King of the North will come down and nobody will stop him. That's in the tribulation. We'll see that in our study of Joel. There is going to come a time in the tribulation, right about the time of the 3.5 year between the first half of the tribulation and the great tribulation. The King of the North, Russia, will come down with he's got many nations with him. Iran, there's about 5 or 6 nations associated with him, and he'll come down. Nothing can stop him except Jesus Christ. The only thing that will stop the King of the North in the tribulation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, right now Russia is devoting all their money to make that greatest military in the whole world right now as we speak. Another thing that tells us that we're getting close to the end of this dispensation. But we're not in the tribulation now. We're in the church age. And in the church age, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is operating. It won't be operating in the tribulation, but it's operating now. And what is the restraining ministry of the Spirit? The pivot of mature believers all over the world. And I pray every day that God would vindicate the doctrine and the souls of the pivot all over the world and deliver these Christians in the Ukraine from this satanic evil. It is a satanic evil. And I hope you understand that. It should be something that's highly on your prayer list. The greatness of a nation can only be measured. Sub point nine. The greatness of a nation can only be measured by the virtue of its freedom and the integrity of its authority. The greatness of a nation can only be measured by the virtue of its freedom and the integrity of its authority. Subpoint 10. Human freedom and equality cannot coexist. Human freedom and equality cannot coexist. Human freedom can neither guarantee nor manufacture equality in the human race. Subpoint 11. Some will use their freedom to advance under the principle of self-determination, while others will use their freedom to retrogress. We have human freedom in America, and everyone has the freedom. They can use their volition, their freedom, to advance under the principle of self-determination, or use their freedom to retrogress. Unfortunately, we are living in a time when everybody's looking for a handout from the government, and they don't want to do anything. Just get a handout. And that's their decision. They could also use their freedom to apply themselves, to work hard. I don't care what it is at. I'm not a wealthy person. And when I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, I didn't even have a suit. I didn't have enough money to have a suit. Well, I had one suit. It was my graduation suit from high school, but I couldn't get into it anymore. So that was worthless. Like some of the clothes, you know. So Betty Breckel, the pastor of Ron Breckel, made me several coats that I could wear. But I didn't have any money. I went to Dallas Seminary. It cost money. And so I got jobs to get a little bit of money. And I went down to Houston to be in Barack when school was out. And Baraka got me a job buttering buns at Roy Rogers. All I did was butter buns. I took the buns. I got about $3 an hour, you know. And then they told me we can increase their Bertha's. It has all these bring dishes and that to parties throughout Houston. There's a lot of wealthy people that have parties, and Bertha's brings in all of these dishes. Well, then they bring them back dirty, and then somebody had to wash them, so I got the job of washing Bertha's dishes. And that was about $3.50 an hour. And I could bring my transistor radio in and listen to country music. And I could listen to George and Tammy. We're gonna hold on. Of course they didn't. They got a divorce. But anyway. Anyway, there was a song there. We're gonna hold on. But if you want to, There are jobs. Everybody wants to start out at the president's pay. No, you start out and it's logistical grace. You get a little bit of the money, but if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's in the Word of God. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And I've told that to many homeless people that have come here and knocked on the church doors. And I've had them read it. I say, here, you read this. Tell me what that says. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I said, now, the most important thing I give you is this gospel booklet. It summarizes what God has, says, how you can know you'll be in heaven with him forever and ever. I said, you read this and you believe this, then he comes to live in you and you live in him and he'll provide. David said, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. He'll provide for you everything you need. Well, I said that to, I can't tell you how many people. And one out of about 100 listened. They went, they believed in Jesus Christ, went out and got a job, and then they came back and I couldn't even recognize them. Knock on the door, suit, short hair, smell good. They had a shower not too long ago. First time they hadn't had a shower, I don't think ever. You remember me, Pastor Olson? Nah. Well, you remember that guy that came and you showed me in the Bible, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Well, yeah, and you gave me a gospel booklet. Well, I believed in Christ. I got a job. And you said if I did that, I would never knock on another church door again, begging for food, begging for money. And he says, I never have. And he says, I just want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time to explain that to me. He says, I've knocked on a lot of churches. Nobody ever said the things you said. I said, well, nobody ever does anything the way I do. I got shirts that say fuck terrorism and things like that. I mean, you know. And I wear them too, you know. So I give them as Christmas presents. So I'm different than if you're comparing me with others, you're not going to find anything. God broke that mold a long time ago. So you use freedom. Some use freedom to advance under the principle of self-determination, while others use freedom to retrogress. There is no equality in heaven. When we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be winner believers that have crowns and rewards. Crowns and rewards given to them. And they will be in heaven. And there will be others there who will lose out and have no crowns and rewards. And they'll be in heaven. So then there'll be everything in between. There is no equality in heaven. Eternal reward is determined by the use of your volition in time. Freedom is reality and equality is a myth. Freedom guarantees inequality. You're free to succeed and you're free to fail. Equality is the device of the arrogant and the disoriented person. Forced equality is not only the policy of tyrants, but it is also the basis of Satan's eschatological MO in the tribulation. So, sub-point 11 again, some use freedom to advance under the principle of self-determination, while others use freedom to retrogress. Sub-point 12, freedom is the motivation of the grace-oriented believer and the believer with virtue love who follows the principle of live and let live. Freedom is the motivation of the grace-oriented believer and the believer with impersonal love for all who follows the principle of live and let live. Freedom is the policy of God in the creation of the human race to resolve the angelic conflict. Freedom is the policy of God in the creation of the human race to resolve the angelic conflict. The very fact that God created us with a volition indicates that He intended us to to exercise our free will as a part of the angelic conflict. Subpoint 14. Freedom should be dogmatic and inflexible about the essentials of life. Freedom should be dogmatic and inflexible about the essentials of life, and flexible and pliable about the non-essentials. And flexible and pliable about the non-essentials. And therefore, freedom is common sense and orientation to reality. That brings us to point four. Freedom is a heritage of physical birth. This is human freedom. Human freedom or establishment freedom. Freedom is a heritage of physical birth. Let's amplify. One, by the sovereign will of God, mankind was created with a volition, a free will as a part of our soul. By the sovereign will of God, mankind was created with a volition, that is, a free will as a part of our soul. Very important part of our soul. Two, the most precious attribute in your soul is volition and the byproduct of self-determination. You're free to succeed, you're free to fail. The most precious attribute in your soul is volition and the byproduct of self-determination. You're free to succeed, you're free to fail. Three, because you have a volition, you are free to make decisions. Because you have a volition, you are free to make decisions. And this is why we are here. This is why we are here. We are here to make decisions. You live one day at a time. Every day, you are free to make decisions. And you are free to make decisions as a member of the royal family of God. Decisions for God, decisions for the Word of God. Or you're free to make bad decisions. Four, through freedom we can make right decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Or wrong decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. Through freedom, we can make right decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, or wrong decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. Five. When you exercise your freedom to make right decisions, you increase your options. When you exercise your freedom to make right decisions, you increase your options. Six. However, when you exercise your freedom to make wrong decisions, you will eventually run out of options. You will eventually run out of options. In other words, you are living in Satan's cosmic system. You're going from warning discipline to intensive discipline until you run out of options and dying discipline. The sin unto death. And unfortunately today, suicide is one of the increasing. Because why? People have believers have no problem solving devices. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. And they go from discipline to discipline to discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. And all of a sudden they come to the point there are no options left. They don't see anything they can do. They think that the only thing they can do is take their life. What a sad, sad state. And yet this is happening not just with unbelievers. This is happening with believers. Believers all over America committing suicide, taking their life. They've run out of options. But it's their own damn fault. They have a free will. They can make good decisions. Good decisions. They can come to their senses and rebound and get back into fellowship with God. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into the spiritual life. And then make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Make good decisions to live the Spirit-filled life. Make good decisions to consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible-teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Make good decisions to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for their life, not their own arrogant personal plan. Seven, man was created by God to exercise his freedom and make decisions. Man was created by God to exercise his freedom and make decisions. Eight, by divine design, free will in mankind is a characteristic which man has in common with angelic creation. By divine design, free will in mankind is a characteristic which man has in common with angelic creation. Nine, therefore, freedom is an extension of the angelic conflict in human history. Freedom is an extension of the angelic conflict in human history. Ten, man was created to resolve the angelic conflict. Man was created to resolve the angelic conflict, and therefore freedom and self-determination functioning on a non-meritorious basis, faith determines the outcome of the angelic conflict. All right, now that brings us to spiritual freedom, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Spiritual freedom. Well, the great, great passages on spiritual freedom and the far greater glory of the church age. One, again, there are two categories of spiritual freedom. There is positional freedom, union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Positional freedom. And secondly, there is experiential freedom, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which enables us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. So there are two categories of spiritual freedom: positional freedom, union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit of salvation; experiential freedom, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5:1, for freedom, for the advantage of experiential freedom, it's the dative of advantage, for freedom, for the advantage of experiential freedom, Christ caused us to be set free, positional freedom. Therefore, stand firm and stop being held in again, subjected again to the yoke of slavery, Satan's cosmic system. In Galatians 5:1, we have both categories of spiritual freedom presented. Both positional freedom in union with Christ and experiential freedom to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. So, let's start with the first category. Point two is positional freedom. Point two is positional freedom. One, positional freedom starts at the cross. Salvation by faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Positional freedom starts at the cross. Salvation by faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Turn over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 8. John 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And in verse 34, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, Jesus Christ, you will be free indeed. John 8:34-36. Subpoint two. At the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, the believer is entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three, positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. God, in His infinite and matchless grace, has done what man can never do, what the Democrats can never do, what the Republicans can never do. What God, in His infinite and matchless grace, has done what man can never do. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. How is that? Subpoint four. In union with Christ, positional freedom. Every church age believer has equal privileges and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. It makes no difference what your human IQ is. It's your spiritual IQ, which is provided by God the Holy Spirit. In union with Christ, positional freedom, every church age believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. I don't care who you are here, what your human IQ is, you all have the equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to advance to spiritual maturity, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and glorify God to the maximum. Every one of you. Equal privilege, equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. That's what we have here. Well, we got a good start last time. The gun has not only gone off, we've taken about 20 steps down the track. But I haven't told you how long the race is yet. It's a marathon, no, I just... with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness to each one of our lives. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen.